Stand greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Glad to be in the house of God and the peace and quiet of the land. Glad to see the visitors here with us. Glad you could be here and invite you to worship with us. For a title this morning, I have Forgiveness as Christ Forgave. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 27. So think of Christ's life here on earth and how he came, left heaven, and the story of mankind, how they fell into sin in the garden, and God promised a Redeemer. And then Christ came to earth to shed his blood. And how he loved people. We see the heart of God in John chapter 3, verse 16. Let's say that verse together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the mindset of Christ when he came. He was willing to come and do that for us. And the love he had, I believe love is a synonym for forgiveness. Matthew 27, verse 44 says, this is at the crucifixion. I'm going to go just a few verses ahead of this. They were mocking him. Verse 42, they said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. And I'm going to look at the other accounts, but it does give the idea here that both of the thieves started out mocking him for being on the cross. That's what I see here. Now let's turn over to Mark chapter 15. Verse 32 says, and this was the mocking going on when Jesus was on the cross. And we think of the power that he had and the power that was at his fingertips to change the situation. So he was there voluntary. And he loved mankind enough to stay there. Verse 32 says, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Then let's go to Luke chapter 23. Verse 39 says, and one of the malefactors which were hanging, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? What kind of condemnation were they in? Their life was going to end shortly. They were powerless to do anything with the circumstances they were facing, except repent. And so he was saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? He goes on and says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. And they crucified people for a lot of things that are not taking anywhere near that seriously today. But he did, this thief on the cross understood that he was there because of his own actions. And Christ was there because of his surrender to God. And he had done, as the thief said, he had done nothing amiss. Verse 42 says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that's just a beautiful account. I like the balance of the, I think the other Gospels was given, it was their writings. And yet, I don't believe it was life. There's going to be times when we forgive, and then the things come back to us, and then we need to forgive again. And when they come back to us, we need to forgive again. And God will walk through us if we want Him to, and help us along. There's another challenging example is that of Stephen in Acts chapter 8. You think of how he was called in because he talked for God, because he was willing to go spread the word and to talk about God and to bring people along, to be a witness who was living out what he was talking. Verse 54 says, And when they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And that mirrors what Christ did on the cross as far as the attitude goes. Stephen could not be a sacrifice for mankind's sins. I want to be plain on that. But Christ was on the cross as part of the plan so that me and you could be reconciled to God. And it's impressive to me that Stephen's last words was telling the Lord that lay not this sin to their charge. I think we could also say that another way, as I hold nothing against these people. And we think of how, I wonder, we think of the Apostle Paul and the forgiveness he experienced in this situation because he was there. It doesn't say he was throwing rocks, but he was there as a hostile person. And when he met Jesus on the way to Damascus, and that light come around him, and he fell to his knees. God took him and led him along. There's so many different ways that we have the opportunity to be forgiven, and then we have the opportunity to forgive our fellow brothers and sisters. It's all tied together, and yet it goes different ways. There's another example that's really stood out to me. Let's turn to Matthew 27, verse 61. There's many common threads in the Gospels, but over the crucifixion and resurrection, there's one that really stands out to me in all four Gospels, and that's Mary Magdalene. In Matthew here, 27 verse 61 says, And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. This, preceding this is the rich man had gone and begged Jesus' body from Pilate. Verse 59 says, And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. And verse 1 of the next chapter, 28, At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. We find her there. What made her so dedicated to Christ? Let's turn to Mark chapter 15. Verse 40. It says, "And there were also women looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem." And turning to Luke chapter 24. Verse 10. "It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at which was come to pass." And then John chapter 20. "The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. And Peter went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre, so that they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre." And it was there, she was the one there early again. You know, it says that Jesus had cast seven devils out of Mary Magdalene. And you know, we can go two ways there. We can say that she was forgiven a lot. And Jesus talks about that. You know, we've all been forgiven a lot. And that's where the thief that was on the cross with Jesus that asked for mercy, he was forgiven a lot. The ones that stoned Stephen, when they repented, they were forgiven a lot. And for me and you who haven't killed people, we haven't, maybe we think that the sins that we've committed were minor. There's some stories in the Bible for us too. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 15. It's the story of the prodigal son. I'd like to look at maybe most of our focus to be on the brother who didn't mess up. But I'd like to talk about the first son some too. And see if we can understand what Christ is telling us in this story. And he said, verse 11, and he said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country and sent him unto his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave him. And when he had come to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. I'd like to think about this son for a little bit here. Think about what he did. Thinking of Jesus, and as he put this story out here for us, this was before he was crucified. And so he was telling how we relate to someone who is sorry. You know, when he was on the cross, he followed exactly what he said to with that other thief. And it's a touching thing to think of who we follow. As we follow Christ, as we represent him in our walk, we're following someone who did what he said. Because it was his choice. So, man had two sons, and the younger one was rebellious. So, as I understand it, the older son got 2/3, the younger son probably got 1/3. And it was sometimes, there was probably divided up like this with the dad's decision that said, you know, I'm going to turn this over to y'all. And this is the way we're dividing it out. This way here, the son went and asked, or maybe demanded. He didn't want to stay around and then take care of his dad. He left. It says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Probably my earliest memories of this story was when Martha Weaver used to come and do flannel graph lessons at school. That was a long time ago. I'm sure there's some people here that remember that. I think they're probably most of them older than me. And she used to come in, and I don't know if it was probably once a month, maybe once a week, I'm not sure. And this is one of the stories. She had the board, and she had all the characters drawn out, and she would put them up as she told the story. And I remember the story started out with this boy being really popular. And as the possessions went down, his popularity went down. And I think that was true. I think that's the way it worked. If you have money and you're looking for a good time, it's not too hard to get some people to go along with you. And this is where he found himself. And so he was losing what he was given to be able to make it financially through life. Not everybody had this. And he was squandering what was given to him. Said he wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He went, joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And so to be feeding swine and to be a Jew was really, they didn't want to do that. That was almost past the last resort. And this is what he found himself doing. He says he would have liked to eaten some of the food that was given to the pigs. He was in that much trouble, but no man gave to him. Verse 17 says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know, probably that circumstance taught him something that nobody else could tell him. He wasn't ready to hear that. But after he realized where he was and how good he could have it, verse 18 says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and he began to be merry. I like to think a little bit about the father. I don't think that son that was ungrateful and took his money, didn't return his love, I don't think that son was ever far from his mind. You know, that's how God is to us. He was enough that way. He sent his son to shed innocent blood for us. And so I don't believe that son that left, the prodigal son, was ever far from him. I'd like to think about his response. Verse 20 said, while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. So his dad was watching for him. I don't know how far a great way off was, what they call it, but he wasn't just walking. What we agreed on. I'm not being unfair. Don't you? That we didn't need Christ's blood. And none of us has the right to not accept someone because we don't think it's fair. I think his story brings that out. I'd like to talk about the elder son. And I'd like to list some of the things that I think he did. I think he was hardworking. After he received his inheritance, he stayed on the farm. And when this was going on, he was out there working. And nobody came and told him. He was probably someone that, what would we say, they were taken for granted. In the morning they were out there working, and the next day, same thing. And so he had some strong points. So he went in, he was probably tired. He was out working, probably didn't feel like having a party that night, and wondered, you know, what's going on here. Verse 26 says, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I love the story, I love the way the father relates to his oldest son. He says, you know, he didn't deny what his younger son had done at all. I think the older son probably had it about right. He had been He had been involved in immoral conduct. He had gone out and just lived life, did whatever he wanted to do while his money lasted. And now you're really going to come and kill the calf that we reserve for special occasions because this prodigal son came home? And he was angry. You know, if we want to look at it from a strictly fair thing, yeah, story is what the story is. But we have to remember that if Christ would have taken that attitude, he wouldn't have went to the cross either. As we follow God, then we forgive. And, you know, I used to think the thing with forgiveness was you forgave and you forgot and it was going on. But you know what? The devil doesn't work that way. He's going to keep bringing things back to us. And then we forgive again. And if we need some help with it, go read what Jesus did for us and keep working on it. I think another thing that he was telling his oldest boy was, everything I have is yours. The other brother took his part and left. Yeah, he was still his son. But the oldest brother's possessions were here. The youngest sons were gone. And you know, if forgiving someone costs us a lot, as we follow Christ, our possessions in heaven are secure. We don't have to worry about that. I think that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. In Matthew chapter 6, I'd like to look at the Lord's Prayer. Verse 9 says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You know, in this model prayer here, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." You know, as we pray to God every day or multiple times during the day, in Christ's model prayer, he's telling us that we need to forgive. And if he's telling us that in his model prayer, it's something we deal with. I don't think there's anybody that just finds forgiving naturally. But we take on Christ's mind. When we become a Christian and we die to ourselves and we take on Christ's mind, it's hard work. We're not going to minimize that. But it's worth it. And it's the way to peace and happiness. When bitterness overtakes someone, it's a sad picture. It really is. It cripples lives. It makes so people don't, yeah, it makes so people can't relate. It makes so people can't function. There's a lot of other things that go along with it. And so every day, let's pray for us to be a forgiving people. You know, Christ had another story in Matthew here about the man that was forgiven an unpayable debt. And he was just forgiven. And yet he couldn't forgive. He went out and was going to put someone in jail that had a debt that could be paid, maybe in 6 months. And he wasn't willing to work with the man. If we look at it, that our unpayable debt took Christ's blood, then it pretty much puts it in perspective what we need to forgive. And that's what Christ was telling us. Let's keep on loving God and growing close to Him. Let's keep on being a forgiving people. As we experience it, let's also extend it. Let's kneel in prayer.